I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Awkward Sex and the City. How are you guys doing? How are you feeling? I ask you this every time and I just genuinely want to know. It's the first like crisp day in New York City. I think the high is going to be in the 50s, where it finally kind of feels like a fall in fall, which has honestly been nice because it is a little unnerving to have like 70 degree days in October. But here we are. This week we have Angel Yao, who you're gonna fucking love. And if you haven't heard her first episode, go back. She's great. And this time we talk a lot about, you know, dumb shit we did in college, like how dumb we were in college, including drinking, sex, things like that, being our authentic selves as older adults. And I think you're just really going to enjoy this episode. It's going to bring you back to some memories. So listen, rate, review, like, and then go follow Angel on Instagram at Angel Yao, Y-A-U. And then if you're in the city on November 16th, she's got an amazing show called Asian American Film Thing, where they celebrate Asian American filmmakers by screening their shorts. And Caveat's an amazing venue, so go check it out. You'll fucking love it. And we'll talk soon. So what have you been up to this past year?
I feel like a lot and nothing, you know.
I get that. I feel that.
I guess the same thing, like working and comedy and try not to be sad. I don't
know. That is definitely like the theme of like since COVID, just try not to be sad. Is it going well?
Yeah. Still going to therapy, so that always helps.
Therapy, I sing its praises every time I can. Just mm-hmm. If you aren't getting it, like it's great. Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah, it's like every time I'm like, oh, this is weird or this is stressful, I'm like, We'll just save it for Wednesday when I meet my therapist.
And especially, like, I think what's really important, like, when one of the reasons I got into it was I realized how much I was, like, dumping on my partner. And I think that's, like, a big thing to talk about, too, of just, like, especially during COVID, of just, like, having this person that is paid to listen to you, and you can just, you're not dumping because they are there to, like, you know, provide feedback and be there for you in a professional manner rather than if you, like, have a partner or roommates that are also going through the same COVID shit. But yeah, but not to do a hard pivot, but I remember we had technical difficulties with the last episode, all on my part. Somehow my, like, microphone, like, fucked up and cut your story off, which was hilarious. And I don't want to say anything because I don't want to, like, give anything away.
Okay, so I'll start with saying that I was in college. So, you know, like, early 20s, that was the mindset of someone. And I think in college, I definitely was, like, all loose, like, you know, because it was, like, really, like, no parents, no rules kind of thing. And really just, like, finding my voice and finding, like, being comfortable with myself and being, like, confident, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So that goes along with, like, dating and sex and all of that, because I, you know, I did not do any of that in high school or anything.
Same, also. Same.
Yeah, and in college, were you, like, also, like...
I didn't know how to handle the freedom. Like, I remember the first weekend, I called my mom and was like, am I allowed to go out? And she was like, yeah, and, like, don't tell me about it because I'm going to freak out. And I was like, oh. Like, I had a really hard time learning to let go of that type of relationship. Right. I don't know. Yeah. I guess I just never realized, like, how much it was, like, embedded in me.
Yeah, I guess it was, for me, I was, like, waiting for that moment to, like, just leave without telling anyone, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you get used to it, it's fucking great.
But yeah, so I went to college in Ithaca, upstate, and we have, like, an LA program where the communication school, so, like, the film, TV, radio, like, all those kids, get to go to LA for a semester if they want to. It's, like, optional. And that's kind of, like, our study abroad, even though it's, like, just across the United States. And a lot of times it's, like, towards our end of, like, our college career, we get to do the LA thing. And, you know, we do internships and all of that. So it's, like, an extra layer of, like, freedom, I guess, of, like, living in LA for a semester. And so there was a trip. It was kind of like a camping trip with, like, the class. And we were supposed to have one supervisor, but he was sick or something. So it was just a bunch of 20-year-olds in this, like, house, I guess. I don't remember. But it was, like, you know, like a camping house in Big Bear. That's where we went. And the other thing to know about Ithaca College is we have this really weird, I guess, tradition called Cortica, which is Ithaca and Cortland's football teams. And they're both really bad. So usually when they play the game, everyone just drinks for, like, the whole day. And then another tradition developed called Cortical, which is the same football game, but we would be celebrating in LA or California, which means we start drinking, like, at 7 a.m. because of the time difference. So that was just,
oh my,
like,
God. It's just a recipe for disaster.
So I'm setting that in place. So that was that day. And yeah, pretty much I was sort of, like, seeing this, but not really seeing, you know, like, kind of, like, hooking up and not really with this one guy. But we've never, like, you know, said anything or whatever. But it's always, like, kind of in the back of my head. And then, like, maybe. And then I think during the day, I was, like, not going to do anything. I'm just going to have fun with my friends. But then, of course, like, towards the night, I'm like, you know, see what happens.
The more I drink, the more I'm like, it's time to fuck. Yeah.
So it's probably, like, really, really late in the night. And, you know, everyone's been, like, just wasted the whole time. I think somehow we both ended up in a room together. We were, like, making out and stuff. And then we were, like, on the floor in the room. And people were trying to, like, open a door and stop us. Because I told everyone to, like, don't let me do anything. confident. I just kept like pushing the door back and everyone's like, I don't know what to do. I guess they're adults, so I'll just leave them. And then also in the same room, there was a guy in bed already passed out.
Oh my God.
And we're just like making out with him or like whatever in the floor.
There's like so many porns that I've watched like that, where it's just like someone's in the bed asleep. Yeah,
but oh my God. Asleep. I feel like a lot of the sex I had in college were like kind of drunk sex. So it's just, so we weren't really having sex at all. It was like limp dicks, whatever. But in my head, always I'm like, okay, this is one time. Like I'm checking off, like, okay, the second time. But now I'm like, oh, I probably haven't had sex at all because it probably wasn't really.
I used to do the same thing to be like, yes. First time I gave head, first time I had sex, like third time. I was like so proud of myself. I totally did the same thing.
Yeah, just like, but then, yeah, I was like, wait, I don't think anything really went in. So that was definitely happening. And then he, there was like a little balcony thing and then he left to go pee. And it was like peeing outside the balcony. And then I was like, oh, I have to pee too. So, but I didn't want to go out the door because everyone was trying to stop us and I was embarrassed to like face anyone. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't, you know, go in a balcony because like I don't have the penis. So,
right. We don't have the
luxury convenience.
Convenience. Yeah.
So in a corner by the bed with the guy sleeping on it was a pile of clothes, like a pile of laundry. And I just squatted on the laundry and I just peed in that pile. And I was like, this is the best idea I've ever. But like right away after that, I felt like guilty because I was like, oh no, I don't know if he was close. And then I did.
They were probably dirty.
Yeah, I was like, that's what dirty. I was like, that was the logic. And then I opened a door and the bathroom was like, right there. Like I didn't have to do that. I could have just and no one was there. You know, no one was like waiting for us to come.
Oh no.
So then I took the pile of laundry and I put it in the bathtub and I just let the water run because that was better than leaving pee in the laundry.
I think so. You're diluting it.
Yeah. Diluting it. Yeah.
Like he was probably mad when he saw it, like when he woke up and saw it, but he didn't know
it was, like,
what it was before. Yeah.
So yeah, because I'm like, everyone's drunk, whatever. Like no one's gonna question this at all. I still don't know who's close. I don't know what the reactions were.
Did you ever tell the guy that you were hooking up with that you did that?
I don't think so. I think it was one of those things that I just told probably like my close friend or one or two friends. And then I was like, never talk about it, never bring it.
Oh.
But now I'm like talking about it all the time in public.
Because that's just kind of what happens in college is you're like, oh, I know this was bad. But then once enough time is like spaced between, then you're like, all right, I can let this be funny again.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I just think we all do shitty things when we're drunk, when we're young with that type. It was just like so much power. Now I'm trying to think of something like really dumb that I did or like that was like kind of mean. I threw up everywhere in public. I was a big thrower-upper. Mm-hmm. And I remember it's just embarrassing that I did it. Mm-hmm. But I had friends that had a party and they made, what was it called? Like jungle juice or something? Or it's just like orange juice.
Usually. Like in a big tub.
It was in the tub. And you're just like, I went over. The plastic brunettes and just like orange soda. It was awful. And I drank way too much in the pregame. And the next thing I know, I'm like, the apartments had those like stairs to get on the outside to get to all the apartments. And I'm like sitting on the stairs too drunk. And I know I'm too drunk. And all of a sudden my crush from high school starts walking up the stairs. And I was like, no, with another guy that I knew. And they were like, hey, how are you? What's up? And literally I just like threw up like right in front of them on the stairs, just orange. And I think that's the last time I saw both of them. And they both were like, ew. They just like walked away.
They didn't help me. They should be like, oh no, she's sick.
They might have. I really at that point was browning out. I remember like at that point, I threw up in front of them. I was like, oh no, I threw up in front of Rex. Because of course, one of the hottest guys in school had a name like Rex. And then I had no shoes on and like ran down the stairs, called my cab driver because I had this one guy who I tipped really well because it was always like too many kids, not enough cars.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like tipped him really well. And he always came. Yeah. And so I like fell into a bush while waiting for him. And then he came and then he was like, where are your shoes? And I was like, I don't know. Get me home. And then I think I even like left my keys. And so when I tried to get in like my apartment, no one was there, it seemed like, and I couldn't get in. And then finally, like one of my roommates came down and got me, but I was like on like the door, like I was mm-hmm. just like by the door. And the cab driver, who I unfortunately cannot remember his name, which I feel so shitty about because he was so great to me, like waited. Like he waited aww. Outside until I was like for sure inside. Yeah. And then that was it. I was just like, yeah, that was, I think I was like asleep and drunk by like 11 p.m.
In my head, it was like 3 a.m.
Oh no. Like, we started pre-gaming at like 7 p.m. and I like threw up by 9 p.m. Like it was like horrifyingly quick of like how bad my like tolerance for alcohol was mm-hmm. because like I never drank in high school mm-hmm. either. So I just had no mm-hmm. fucking tolerance for liquor.
Yeah, I feel, yeah, because I also never drank in high school, but I think with like anything I'm putting in my body, like even food, mm-hmm. I'm like mind over matter. I'm like, I'm just going to be shrunk. So like, I think every time I was drunk or drank, I always remembered I never like really blacked out or anything. There might be like hazy moments, but I was always pretty good with like being like there. And also I wasn't really hungover really, like maybe like 5 times.
Really?
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, it was just
how I was like hungover last weekend, like terribly hungover. Like, oh my God, I'm so jealous.
I actually get a better sleep, which is like not common. But no. I usually get a really good sleep. Maybe it's because I'm so tired and I'm just like plunked out. But every time I wake up after like heavy drinking, I feel great. Especially in college, I would be like waking up at 7 a.m. just like, I had fun yesterday.
Oh my God. That is literally never how it's happened for me. I'm always like, I feel like death. I'm never doing this again. And then I immediately do it again. That's so funny. And you've never like even browned out?
No. Yeah. I feel like I would, like, I'm like, oh, I'm really tired. I'm just going to like lie down. Like I would remember the moment. I'm like, I'm just going to close my eyes kind of thing. But yeah, I've never done something that's like, so like, I don't remember I did that.
Oh my God.
Or I would be like, oh, I'm pretty sure I said something awkward. Maybe I won't remember specifically what, but I would know like kind of what happened.
That's what I'm like in my 30s now. Like anytime like me and Aaron are out and we get like super drunk with our friends, the next morning I'm like, did I say anything weird? Did I do anything awkward? And he's like, no, like you were fine. But that's like the first place I go.
Yeah, I'm definitely like, you know, and like I'm pretty quiet normally, so I'm always like a little bit more loose lips. And then I'm like, sometimes I know I would go overboard or be like too offensive or, you know, just not try to be funny, but then it turns out to be like awkward and not really funny kind of thing.
And it probably isn't at all, but it's all like in your head yeah. that you're like, oh no. And everyone's like, no, Angels, you were great. You were like a blast. What are you talking about? I have to say, you're very lucky you've never blacked out. I think I've only blacked out once, maybe twice, but there's mm-hmm. once, like there's one night that like to this day I still find out other things I did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like I found out I like semi like hooked up with this guy that I was friends with, like like in public, like on the dance floor. Yeah. And I had no clue for years.
Yeah.
And we would like always hang out and talk, and it was like never talked about. And then everyone was like, yeah, you fucking like made out with Matt. And I was like, no, I didn't. And they're like, you absolutely did. You were like grinding on his like his penis like in front of everyone and your tongue was down his mouth. And I was like, oh. I was like, why did Matt never bring this up? And then I thought like the last, it was like a party at my house, so again I pregame too mm-hmm. much. That's what always gets me. Mm-hmm. And we lived in a townhouse, and the last thing I remember was someone taking me upstairs because I was like, oh man, like I am tired. It is time. I'm too drunk. And last thing I remember is falling asleep on my bed. And then they were like, no, you got up immediately and like went downstairs to the open bathroom for everyone, locked yourself in and vomited everywhere and would not let anyone in. And I was like, what? And then, oh God, there are so many things I did. I can't remember, but it's just like, it's a weird one. It's a weird one to not remember anything.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, no. And you are at your worst, basically.
Yeah, that's just like, yeah, scary to me. Because then I'm just like, what if you, you know, like did something illegal and you didn't know? And then you can't defend yourself.
Right? What was like, Ithaca's college culture, was it like a big sorority school? Was it a sorority fraternity school, a big like party school?
We didn't have any sororities or fraternities. I think because we were next to Cornell, so they would have more of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it is like any other college where it is, you know, every weekend there would be some sort of house party or whatever. And that is a weird like culture. Like, I feel like, I guess that's how US colleges are. And it's just so weird to know, like, you know, everyone binge drink, everyone, like, that's a normal thing, which I'm sure it, like, you know, looking back now as an adult, it was like, why did we do that? Why did we ruin our, like, brains and our bodies like that? But it's
Yeah, it does feel like such a normal thing. Like, did Ithaca have, like, a drunk bus to like take all the drunk students around?
No, I don't think so. Cause yeah, we were in campus usually. There maybe a few people are like living off campus, but it's such a small town, I guess. So everything's just very walkable in a way.
Okay.
Maybe there was one person who would like be able to drive, but there wasn't anything like too much of the transportation thing.
You basically had to get off of campus after the first year. At JMU, where I went, JMU.
Yeah.
And so, like, I remember the first weekend, it's just hordes of, like, 20 to 30 freshmen, like, walking up these hills to where all the off-campus apartments were, because that's where all the parties were, basically. And just, it was such a weird sight. And then I learned about the drunk bus and was like, oh, yes, we should drunk bus it. Like, we should not be walking. I know Ithaca is very cold, and I feel like you guys take, you know, the cold way more seriously, but like there was one time we went out in mini dresses and like exposed high heels, and my friend like legit got frostbite.
Oh, no.
And I was like, why are we doing this to ourselves? Yeah. Like, but I still do this to this day where I'm like, I don't want to wear a coat. I want everyone to see my outfit. I can't wear a coat.
Maybe if it's like a clear coat, maybe you should invest in that.
Oh yeah. Like a clear, like little trench coat. Those are cute. I like those.
Yeah, I think I also did a lot of walking because I'm one of those people who is kind of like insecure, where in my head, like kind of like in the movies where someone would see like me walking, like, you know, by myself and whatever, and they'd be like, oh, look at that person. Let me like talk to them or be friends with them, you know? So sometimes I would like purposely kind of like walk on my own to have that genuine moment, but it never happened. I'm just like walking by myself.
And oh, I was gonna ask, did it ever happen?
Yeah, I think there is one time where a group of people are driving, and then they're like, oh, do you need a ride? You should come, you know, come into your car. But in my head, I think I was like trying to get, maybe it was like an ex-boyfriend at the time, to like, I wanted him to witness him to drive me or whatever. So I like declined that really nice group of people. Like, no, I'll just keep walking.
I just never trusted anyone. Like one time it was like me and my friend again walking, got stuck in like a downpour. And this guy was like, hey, like, do you want to walk under my umbrella? And we were like, no, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're trying to like sexually harass us or something. Mm-hmm. Like, and he was like, no, it's just you guys are really wet. Like, but yeah. I love that. Like, I think that's so sweet that you were like, maybe someone will come in and walk with me.
Yeah.
Like, that's so sweet.
But it's too like forced. Like, I'm like imagining something that's not, even if it's happening, then it's like, oh, I'm, you know, like I like manufacture it, you know, like And now I'm more independent and I don't need to make these scenarios. I could just grab a friend and walk with them if I need to.
Rope. I love it. I'm here for it. What was it like? You said you were 20 in LA?
Yeah, it was. So it would be like senior year of college. So like, yeah, probably like 21, 22.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to ask, like, I just rewatched The Hills and they're all like 19, 20 in these clubs. And I'm like, how is this happening in LA at these like major clubs where they're like for sure underage? And so I was just going to ask, like, were you underage trying to?
Yeah, maybe that's why people like our school go to, we would go to LA and went like senior year because we know for sure we're like 21.
Do you like LA? I've never been.
I didn't when I was there for that semester, but then I did live there for a few years after college.
Oh, right. yeah.
And I think it's because I'm a New Yorker and I don't know how to drive. Like, that's kind of the main thing of not liking LA because everything was so far apart and it was very inconvenient to go anywhere. There's like pretty much no public transportation.
Ugh.
And at that time, there was no Uber or Lyft or anything like that. So it's just like, however you can carpool with someone. Because then, yeah, when I was living in LA, I was like still early mid-20s. And I was still in that phase of like trying to, you know, date and trying to figure out what kind of like person I would date and all of that. But it's always still like meeting someone at a party or like mutual friends, never like strangers. Because that's too like much math for me, I feel like.
So it's always has, too like, much math.
I was like, is he like, you know, what's his past like? Like, I don't know anything about his. So I'm always good with just like mutual friends or like, and comedy helps, I think, like just a comedy group. There's still some sort of background that you'll know of that person or like someone knows of that person. I just can't do like strange, like that's why I would never do like dating apps or anything unless there's like a mute, like if I know, like maybe more that other app where you see if you have mutual friends with that person.
Oh, I don't know which app that
like
is.
I feel like that is an app, but maybe I made it up and maybe
no, that sounds like a thing because I feel like people would fucking love that.
Yeah. So yeah, and when I was dating and it was more like always being like the last person at a party because either like my friends who I lived with would leave early and it was like that choice of like, should I leave with them or should I stay and see if I can like hook up with someone? And it's always like, oh, I'll just stay. But then it just, and then everyone would leave and then I'm just like kind of no one that I would want to, and then I would have to like either just sleep over at the person's place or the like other last person to leave, like I would kind of try to be like, can you drive me?
You know, you say you're shy, but this is like really adventurous to be like, you know what, I'm gonna stay.
This is all 20s. It's all the early 20s, mid 20s, and then it just, I feel like, yeah, I think like college was definitely when I was not as shy and like really going for it. But then I want to say like late 20s, 30s now, like kind of back into the like I'm insecure and I don't want to go for it. I'm like going to hide.
It definitely ebbs and flows. Yeah. Like I totally know what you mean. There's definitely like years where I'm like, oh, I was way more adventurous this year. Yeah. And then you're way more like inward and then it like cycles again. I totally get that.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. And you know, like when you have an actual significant other, you don't need to think about like, okay, you know, which person I'm going to kiss or whatever.
Right.
Like that part like leaves off. And in a way I like that because then, yeah, I feel like I was just like so desperate, you know, like when all of those things happen and without that desperation is no longer there, which is really nice. Like not to feel that like, you know, like I need this or, and then feel like ashamed after or guilty, like all of that packaged into like one night.
The early 20s really did find a way to package every emotion in one night.
Yeah.
Like I, at my school, it was like crazy if you hadn't had sex already or right away. Mm-hmm. And there was this weird stigma of like, you need to have sex like right now. And I still was like really nervous and just, I just wasn't ready. I didn't until I was like 20, which I'm super glad about. But I just remember like those type of like feelings of like, oh, like, should I try to hook up with this guy? Mm-hmm. Should I at least make out with this person so it looks like I'm like into them? How am I getting home? Oh, they're leaving with those guys, but I'm still here with this person. Yeah. It's just like trauma, so much at once. So much trauma.
And drama.
And drama. Oh my God. So much drama. I mean, my favorite was like the fights that would happen between friends drunk. Mm. And then they would pretend like it never happened the next day. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, oh, I just drank so much. Like, what do we do? And it's like, you verbally assaulted your best friend in public, but you don't remember. It's like, maybe this friendship like shouldn't be a thing. Yeah. But that was just also like possibly just like very indicative of the college that I went to, because it was also 70% girls and like 30% boys. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was a very weird dynamic of just like a lot of like competition for these very like mediocre men.
In high school, that was the ratio for me, 70% girls and 30% guys.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be harder in high school.
I guess that, I mean, probably that's why I didn't date, because I think because like the high school I went to was very focused on like grades and like doing well, that it wasn't really a thing of like fighting for guys, or I think some people still date, but it wasn't like a needed thing that everyone had, which is nice, I guess. And there weren't really any cliques or anything because of like, it was just like not a typical high school experience, I guess.
Yeah, that's amazing. No cliques, no pressure to date. I love that.
No. I was going to say no racism, but I guess there was still it.
It's like, what is this dream school you went to?
There was like, I'm sure there was still racism. But
I bet a lot of money there was definitely racism. I mean, I wish not, but for sure there was, unfortunately.
Yeah. Have you ever, like, have you made out with someone that you didn't want to, but you just...
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot.
All the time in college. All the time. And, like, all of a sudden, like, a guy would come out of nowhere and just, like, grab your face and start making out with you, and you'd just be like, well, now I can add this to the list of, like... Like, I don't know their names. I don't know what they look like. Them. And then I always say, like, if I ever saw anyone I made out with high school, college, I wouldn't remember them. And then I would never remember anyone. I did dating apps, but I never dated. Mm-hmm. But I ghosted like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, telling people the other day, like, I would never know their names or what they look like. Like, there's such a good chance that I've, like, worked with them and have no clue. And I think that's so fucked up. I was like, yeah, I don't remember anything about you except that I used you to make me feel better about myself after a breakup. And then I just ghosted you when I was done.
Do you think part of it, and this is, I think this is my, how my head worked when I was younger. It was like, I don't want to be one of those girls that, attached feeling, you know, like the whatever stereotypical girls that the media would put out or like whatever. And I'm just, and in my head, I'm one of the guys. And that's why I'm not like, I don't date, you know, like I'm not gonna date you unless I really, really like you, but I'm fine just like hooking up and having sex or whatever. But I feel like that was just protecting myself. I'm sure I didn't really feel like that, but it was just me being like, you know, like I'm showing them and I'm different.
Like 100%. And if you go back, like if you go and find, I have to think of like specific shows and like things that we watched, but like even just like watching, like rewatching Laguna Beach and like The Hills, like everything was so anti-women. Mm-hmm. Like it was like not cool to be like feminist. And it was like, I'm one of the cool girls. Like I'm just one of the guys, like you said. Yeah. And like, I remember one of mine and Aaron's worst fights when we moved together was he kept putting the toilet seat up. And I was like, I really need you to put it down. And he said something like, I just thought you were one of like those cool girls. And it was so triggering. like my head like exploded and I was like, go fuck yourself. Man. I don't think I said it like that, Aaron, as you're probably listening. But it was like one of like our like biggest fights. And it was just like hearing that phrase again of like after like unlearning all that, like, I'm just trying to be cool. I don't want any like labels or like attachment, like you said, was just like so fucking triggering.
Well, it's funny with the toilet seat thing, because I'm like, I don't want to be one of those. I would like after I pee, I would put up the toilet seat. See how I'm so cool.
You are one of the cool girls, Angel. You are, goddamn.
Especially like if it's like one of those bars or whatever where it's just like the one bathroom. And if I know like a guy would be after me, I'd be like, I left the seat up for you.
That is so considerate though. Like, I left the seat up for you. Let's make out now. Do you do that at home too with your husband?
No, I don't do it anymore. Put it-
He is like, and I miss it every day.
Yeah. I was like, well, I mean, like, I don't, because I don't yell at him if it's up. I'm just like, all right, I'll put it down. He'll put it up. You know, like, we're just doing our own thing. So it's like,
yeah, like, there's definitely, if I'm drunk or if I'm like PMSing and it's up, I like will smack it down really hard so he can hear it. And I'll be like, I'm sorry.
We bought a slow closing toilet thing, so we can never smack it down.
Those are so cool, like, though. Yeah. I love those.
And then sometimes I forget when I'm at someone else's bathroom, and I'm just like, oh no, just like, no. Yeah, it makes a laugh.
Like, oh no, I wasn't trying to be.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to shame my husband, but I like, sometimes he doesn't flush, or maybe he does flush, but he probably should have flushed twice kind of thing.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free. And when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Well, so, okay, so what type of family are you? We are a, if it's yellow, let it mellow, but if it's brown, flush it down. Are you guys flush no matter what?
I'm flush no matter what, and I think my husband's, like, just, like, chaos. I don't know when he's going to flush it.
There is nothing worse, though, when, like, you open the toilet and, like, they forgot to flush a poo, and you're just, like... No,
it's not. I don't even need to, like, it's just there. Like, I feel like, you know, he's doing his business and then he would just, like, flush without looking. And I don't know if that's a common guy thing or a person thing, but just, like, flush and then leaving. Cause I'm always I flush and I'm making sure everything goes down before I leave.
Yeah. I'm the same. Cause I like to
you like to see it.
I like how to confirm, I like to close the toilet seat so that way it doesn't get, like, on our toothbrushes.
That's smart.
And then I reopen it because if I don't, I'll, like, just sit on the toilet and forget.
I know. I guess I like the way a toilet looks when it's open. I've never really closed it, but that is true. Like, with the, because our toothbrush is right next to the toilet.
I don't know how true that is. I just heard it's like it, like, splatters, and I was like, the logic makes sense, like, the logic is sound, and so I was like, all right, I'll start closing it, but I like to reopen it, like, once it's done, because, like, I like the toilet seat open, like, I like how it looks. Totally. I totally get that.
Sometimes it's just, like, dirtier when it's closed for some reason, like, just, like, the little cracks, I guess. But when it's open, it seems, like, cleaner.
And we have a fan in our bathroom, and it seems to, like, because our old apartment did this too, so maybe it's us, but there'll be, like, little, like, not dust, but it almost looks like little pieces of fat, like, very small, like, piece of fabric. I don't know how to put it, but it's, like, fuzzies everywhere. If you close it, you can see the fuzzies more.
So
if I'm not feeling, like, cleaning.
Do you? This is what I do, which I don't know. So if I'm, like, sitting there for a while and pooping, I would start cleaning around me.
Yes, I've totally done that.
You're just like, oh, let me just wipe this floor.
Just, like, killing two birds with one stone. Yes. Oh my God. I'm totally there. I am really bad about cleaning too. Like, I try to do it at least once a week and I feel like that's not enough. But it was because my mom cleans the bathroom every day. And she puts her hand in it without, like, a glove. Like, she'll, like, put Ajax and bleach and then just be like, and so I've been like, I don't want to be like that. I want a clean bathroom, but I cannot devote that much time to chores in my life.
I am appreciative of my mom. Like, my mom's same thing, and that's why, like, I always thought toilet water was really, like, clean, you know, because my mom would clean it. But now I'm like, oh, it's not. You can't wash your hands with toilet water.
One time in college, oh my God, this reminds me of something stupid my roommate did. The toilet got clogged, most likely because of me, because I definitely like pooped the most. But it got really clogged and we couldn't get our super or whoever to pick to clean it up. And she started taking like a plastic cup and pouring that water into our bathtub. And I was like, well, I can never take a shower ever again. Like, I just like, you're just, why is this water going in this mm-hmm. water? It's poop water. Like, why are you putting poop water everywhere? Yeah. I do not remember how that happened, like, or how that ends, because I feel like I blacked it out. Like, I just was like, this is not okay. Yeah. Just like pure hand in this poop water. And I was like, oh my God, like, we are so dumb. Like, why are we allowed to be alone in an apartment right now, let alone getting a college degree?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we were like 21, 22. We were like seniors when that happened. Ugh, oh God, so gross.
Yeah, I guess we just take things for granted, what our parents do for us.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
I wasn't as bad because I remember, I think it wasn't even college. Maybe it was just like high school, or maybe not even high school. It was like a summer program thing. It was kind of the first time I was with like just really like a random bunch of like kids. And at the time, I didn't realize like most of them were really like privileged and like rich kids. Like one girl brought her like whole cello and it was like a 1 week program. And I'm like, okay, I guess you have to practice. But it was like,
oh my God, you bring that
to practice? I have a point to this. It reminded me because they didn't know how a washing machine worked. They thought that you have to manually put water into the machine.
And oh, I was my just God.
Like, I don't do laundry as a kid. My parents would do it, but at least I know how it works.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my so God. Shocked. They're like, because, yeah, there's a laundromat, and maybe it was like, in our heads, they were like, oh, let's do laundry as a dump. But then they're like, do we like pour water? Like, where's the sink? Do we pour water? What do you do?
Oh my God, that's amazing. There's a New Girl episode where Schmidt's like, I don't know how to do laundry. And he's like pouring the detergent into like the dryer lint thing that catches the lint. And it's one of the funniest things in the world because you just know people don't know how to use the washer. Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah, like they've never seen it. Like, I don't, or they never like thought of it. Like,
I wasn't allowed to do laundry. Like, they showed me how to do it, but I wasn't allowed to do it because I didn't do it well enough. Because my parents are like super like clean mm-hmm. and like have very specific rules.
Yeah.
But I knew how to do it. But the more that we talk about this, the more that I can like remember things of like, wow, like I was really dumb in my 20s. Like, really dumb. It's like, cool. Like, I remember when I moved to New York, my bank wasn't here. Uh-huh. And I didn't think to transfer in time. And I, like, all of a sudden just, like, didn't have money. And I remember the lady being on the phone being like, yeah, because you didn't transfer your money. I remember, like, not understanding like, how banks worked or, like, how to, like, and I was just like, Jesus Christ. Like, how did so many of us survive? I like, know. Physically survive?
Yeah. Yeah, and it is one of those things where, like, maybe the education system should be better about, like, you know, common things and not about math or history.
Oh, yeah. That'd be amazing. Yeah. That reminds me of when I was nannying this kid and he was in middle school. I was like, what are they teaching you, like, in health now and sex ed? And it was so sweet. He was like, they're teaching us how to properly communicate with our friends and platonic relationships. And I was like, I could have done so well with that teaching. Like, I did not know. I still don't really know how to properly communicate. And he, like, gave me examples. And I was like, wow, look at you. So maybe there's hope for our education system. But also, fuck math. It was so bad. It was so hard.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good, like, pilot for idea if you're, like, comparing, if, like, a younger generation is teaching you, like, all the things they're learning, and it's, like, really, like, lessons for you as an adult. And just, like, comparing, like, yeah, the different education system within generations. Like, should we share that?
Yeah, my health class was like about herpes. Well, my health class in sixth grade didn't exist because I went to a Catholic school and they were like, don't have sex or become a nun, or don't have sex and become a nun.
I mean, that makes sense. Right?
But yeah, no, I was like this, I was like taking notes as he was telling me. I was like, this is great. Love it. I need more. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Well, I had a blast. This was a great episode.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. I'll definitely invite you back again. Have a good one.
Okay. All right. I'll see you later.
Thank you guys for listening. Remember to go rate, like, review, subscribe. Go follow Angel on Instagram at Angel Yao, YAU. And again, if you're in New York City or if you're just popping in and want to go see something, go get tickets at Caveat for Asian American Film Thing on November 16th, where they celebrate Asian American filmmakers by screening their shorts. It's going to be a great time. You're going to have a blast. And I will see you guys next week.